Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Raw Review. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hanford and Michael Sidgwick, here to review everything that happened on last night's episode of Monday Night Raw. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review Raw, but also SmackDown, NXT, 2.0, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Hamlin and Zizek to review Monday Night Raw. I think it's fair to say this felt like a show spinning their wheels somewhat ahead of a major go-home show next week, Sidge.
Yeah, I mean, there's no Lesnar, so there's a video package in lieu of Lesnar. There's a women's match to build, so they do a how can they coexist. There's a DQ in the main event. It's an episode of Monday Night Raw. It's an episode of Monday Night Raw, and it's a pretty lousy one.
Yeah, this was a piece of trash. Not to be confused with pacey trash, because I could cope with it moving at some sort of speed. But Christ, there were some long, drab matches here. It's one thing to, have the typical Raw promos and the obvious contrivances and all the same criticisms we have of WWE every week, because this is how they do it now. But, like, don't take the piss out of me. Don't try and present yourself as a wrestling show when you're doing all these other terrible things. You've kind of got to pick a lane here. This is 3 frigging hours.
Yeah, I went full Sidgwick watching this show. Watch it in the morning, obviously, before I get up and potter about and get ready for work. And it got to like the 8-man tag match. And I was like, I'll get on with it. I'm hungry now. So let's just dive straight into this show, because I'm genuinely intrigued just to see which thing you're going to skip, because you're spoiled for choice. And who could have seen that main event going to DQ with 2 number 1 contenders for the pay-per-view? Well, anyway, their show star Becky Lynch came out, video package, etc. She gets on the mic and says how big this year's Royal Rumble is, and we can all thank her for that. It's so big, the stars from the past are returning. Lita, Mickie James, the Bella Twins. Put some respect on Michelle McCool's name, first and foremost, but still, they all want an opportunity to face her. And Lynch said could thank her for winning last week. She made people better before she beat them. She said, Doo-Doo didn't make a name for herself. Someone else did that for her. And someone named Doo-Doo would never be champion as long as she was around. I genuinely thought, just to go on a bit of a sidetrack here, this was the show Doo-Drop would bloody become Piper Niven off the back of this promo. Now, Doo-Doo interrupted. She said she got this title match on her own. And if Lynch really wants to face her, instead of Bianca Belair, like she claimed, she'd actually made a big mistake. Choo-choo, it's a promo train. Out comes Bianca Belair. She talks about being the EST. She said, you can't spell, you're saying you're the best, Becky. Well, you can't spell best without EST. The only reason won last week was because Lynch was too afraid to face her. And so she was announced she was entering the Women's Royal Rumble match. She would do whatever it takes to win again. And then Liv Morgan came out and said, yep, I'm entering the Rumble as well. And Belair, despite the fact that we're tagging tonight, I'll chuck you over the top rope on the way to winning the match. In amongst all this, Doo-Drop made a snoring noise. Everyone was bored by it. Let's get on with the match, basically. Anything you want to say about this promo train, Sidge?
Yet again, I don't want to go two-footed on her, but Liv Morgan's delivery is insufferable. She's really entitled, obnoxious. She's got this way of speaking where it's like, that is a heel cadence.
Yes.
I know this company is root to branch so evil and unlikable that they can't recognize, ah, a person's a bit of a dick or coming off like a bit of a dick. But can one of the normal ones, one of the long-suffering independent contractors who kind of know it's a bit rubbish, but it's just the way of it. I think Kofi Kingston very recently came out in an interview and just said, yeah, I was disappointed I didn't get the match with Ali at WrestleMania 37, but that's just the way these things kind of go. It's par for the course. He said, like, crushing elusive hope being dashed is par for the course. Can one of the sound ones who kind of know, they're not completely in the bubble, have a word and say, here, Liv, like, you really, like, you need to work on the way you talk. Like, you sound so entitled, and it's a heel cadence that you adopt. So that was irritating again. The fact that there was a threat of, can they coexist? Like, why are these people teaming? It's one of those things where it's like, well, it's not going to go well. And yet this kind of did go well. It was a routine win for one of the teams that did, in fact, kind of coexist, or at least they won without coexisting. This is such bollocks.
Bollocks is right. They coexisted until they didn't have to, didn't they? Like, Doudrop, like, at the point at which she could safely assault Becky Lynch with his opportunity to do so, did so. I thought this was piss poor. I think all those complaints about Liv Morgan are so valid, and I feel a little bit sad about how this run has gone for her. Like, I think elements of it are on her, but elements of it are the usual wrestlers just get swallowed up by this machine. And they get turned into something that they're not, even if they are a little bit of that. Like, you don't see that bit and then eke it out and bring out the best in them. Instead, like, you volumize the worst bits. And I think, unfortunately, that's what's happened through most of this run for Liv Morgan. She's not going to win the Rumble. She's not even going to go on close. And I don't even think a lot of the fans are that behind it. They are when it comes to Bianca Belair. I'm not going to say they've stumbled into it, because it's obvious that they're kind of like trying to keep Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch warm, but they have at least got some heat behind Bianca Belair going back to back. Like, that's a really interesting story for the Royal Rumble. That is a main event you can see, which means that her attendance in the Royal Rumble is a sort of possible victory in the Royal Rumble is believable. Mm. I don't think they've booked towards that very well, but if you're thinking about WWE's booking, it's something that you can believe on the night. And not everybody goes back to back. I think it's Hogan, Austin, and Michaels. So she's an incredible company if she can do it, you know. And that's going to be a cool story on the night. I thought the rest of this was abysmal. I'm sick to death of the job of a Becky Lynch promo being first to get booed in a town before you can get to the point. I cannot be arsed with it anymore. And when the stuff that they're doing to get booed is like, we're not that far removed. And I know I wasn't on the review yesterday, but we're not that far removed from Poo Day, and we're given doo doo. And it's like, I'm begging for a particularly annoying NXT call-up to happen, because doo-doo can doo-doo, but Caden Carter is smarter. Because that's Becky Lynch's weird post-WrestleMania program lined up. Like, miserable content this was. That's what this was, miserable content.
Yeah, and it was barely a match. Like you say, these two teams, can they coexist? No. And Morgan did look like she had Becky Lynch pinned at one point, but Yapper breaks up the cover, back and forth, you know, reversals with Lynch and Morgan. Lynch catches Liv Morgan with a manhandle slam. She's got the match won. Doudrop leaps onto the pile to the surprise of everyone on commentary and pretty much no one else, breaks it up, goes to pin Liv Morgan. Referee goes, you need to tag. So she has to drag Becky Lynch over to the corner, tag her. Then she hits that splash of hers and wins, and then hits Becky Lynch with the Banzai drop after the match.
I'm not usually struck by anything this company does anymore. I watch it, as ever, with like a numbed gaze where I'm barely paying attention. It's so hard to actually invest. But I was actually struck with the ease with which Doudrop defeated Liv Morgan in what, less than 3 minutes?
Yeah.
Having performed the move, tried to pin her, she was told she was the illegal teammate, so she tags in at her leisure, which should flee. Tags in at her leisure, does another move, and just simply wins. Like, how disposable is all of this?
Also, what happened to Bianca Belair? Went for the KOD and then just got shoved outside, and that was it.
Oh, yeah, but you have to do really prolonged artificial selling to arrive at these moments. And I was just struck by how disposable all of this is. There's no. I get what they're trying to do with Bianca Belair, where, as Hamford says, they're trying to keep her warm, but they're not trying to keep Liv Morgan warm on this evidence. She's dead and cold in the ground. Just, I've spent When was the first time Liv Morgan and Becky Lynch were sort of tied together in storylines? Like, are we talking 2-3 months ago?
Yeah, about November time, wasn't it? Just after Survivor Series, I would say.
Yeah, so about 2 to 3 months of being told, right, this is going to go long. You're going to get at least 2 matches out of this. Invest in Liv Morgan as a contender for the title and someone who's in the mix. And she just gets defeated so handily, so casually, in such a short amount of time at Dujarab's leisure. And it's just like, well, what a waste of time that was. What a complete waste of time. They could not have done anything less to convey the idea. Well, we're on to the next one.
Yeah, exactly.
How on earth can Liv Morgan do anything of note when she's just been so ruthlessly cast aside like she was in this match? She could theoretically have a program subsequent to this with, and I was going to say, Zelina Vega and Carmella, but they've already feuded extensively over the summer, which just underscores the shallow depth of all of this. But how could she theoretically go and feud with someone else she's not feuded with extensively, with any kind of money in the bank, after something like this? It's just shocking. Like, have some care and attention to what you're doing.
Mm. Well, very excited to see the Viking Raiders number one contenders on SmackDown, of course. Right, let's move on and talk about some backstage segments. Reggie's there. He asks Edge for any advice to get this match against Omos. And he says, anything could happen. And he says, oh, cool. So you think you've got a chance? And Edge goes, hell no. Beth Phoenix puts over Dana Brooke. Brooke goes after Reggie. Edge is chatting with Damian Priest. Priest asks Edge for advice on winning the Rumble. And they're saying, oh, I'm feeling a bit edgy about it all. I hope that side of my character doesn't come out. And then this arm.
Why didn't Dana go, I'm feeling a little Reggie? And then it could have been like, could have a bit of fun with that. Any of this could have been fun instead of deeply appalling.
Well, no, it couldn't, because Edge is involved.
His arm comes in, hands a note to Phoenix, Beth Phoenix, that is, and it's from Maryse, and she says, look, she wants the two of them in the ring tonight. Edge shakes hands with Priest, and Edge says, yeah, you're not going in there alone. We know what they're like. Kevin Owens comes in. Love this guy. Comes in with a tie on, of course, along with his gear. He says, I'm looking forward to having our match tonight, me and you, Damien. He says, can we have a nice technical match and you leave the insane side of your personality at home, please? And then Owens headed off to host the KO show.
All of this is rubbish. But I'll tell you what, though. Like I said before, I don't really feel anything when watching this TV show. I say this most weeks, but I did feel like it's a little bit of sadness when longtime best friends, Kevin Owens and Damian Priest, had their little falling out. It's just, it's a little bit sad when, you know, when you go through their storied warm history and now it's come to this.
It's funny you mentioned long-term best friends, you know, because I think I saw some LTST in this.
Ooh.
And dread it, run from it, but it's a really boring WrestleMania singles match, because I think the Damian side of Damian Priest is going to blame Edge as a bit of a kiss of death for his first, spoiler, apologies, for his first defeat coming later on. And I think Vince may have seen two tall guys that in his mind would probably hang out in the, I don't know, trillions or something. Like, and he's just thought, oh yeah.
Gritty green.
Sticking together. Gritty green. Sticking together for, sticking together for WrestleMania. I think like the Damian side is going to be pretty pissed off with Edge over this for like a bit of a kiss of death meeting backstage. And I saw Edge and Damian Priest as a WrestleMania singles match for the first time, and I did not like the look of it.
No. You ever used to bounce around Hippie Green? Just a bit of a incredibly niche local reference. There's like
I only came to the Northeast at 18, so I kind of missed out on that stage of my life in the Northeast, unfortunately.
There's a little area of grass that I used to goddamn touch. Just at the side of one of the shopping malls in Newcastle City Centre, that was commandeered by goths, right? And just there was like a few like goth shops where you get your Slipknot hoodies. And
Do you remember what else was briefly
wrestling adjoining? Shop.
The wrestling superstore, yeah. Newcastle's little brief wrestling hotbed, where I imagine me and Michael Sidgwick didn't make eye contact with each other before we knew each other.
So I never used to do it, you know. I never used to like. We used to hover around because I used to get my Slipknot hoodies, my Metallica hoodies and all the rest of it as a teen. But I just thought, nah, he's had too gothic for me. Like, but they had two names. It was either called Hippie Green or Goth Green. I personally preferred Hippie Green because I just like how the Rajis would go, oh, hippies. And I was like, oh, no, opposite. They are aspiring Satanists.
Yeah.
They're not hippies. They are the opposite of that. I don't want a hippie.
That's what I've always thought. Look, hippies bloody love the color black.
Yeah,
that's what they love. Getting back to Monday Night Raw, we found out that they were doing the Elimination Chamber in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, in the Jeddah Superdome on Saturday, February 19th. So that's a thing we can all look forward to.
I'll probably just watch Ant Dec's latest quiz instead, you know. If I'm going to pick something with the Saturday night.
What are they calling it? The Annual Elimination Chamber? Is that what the new name is? Dave Meltzer, I think, reported.
They were claiming it was going to be the WrestleMania Chamber.
And I think Dave Meltzer...
I love that.
And I think Meltzer reported another new name in the mix is the Annual Elimination Chamber. And I just like... I don't like anything to do with the Saudi regime, obviously. But just the gumption here is a little bit... Let's just call it the Annual Elimination Chamber. Let's just lock that in forever.
Jesus Christ, man.
It's happening every year.
I do like the idea of, I remember like when Bitcoin was first starting out and companies found out if you just put Bitcoin themed words in your company name, your stock went up ridiculously high. So like they've done this with this, like, it's not just WrestleMania, it's now WrestleMania Chamber, or it could have been WrestleMania Chamber, WrestleMania Backlash, Summer WrestleMania, you know, sort of that sort of thing. Apparently there was, I think it was Long Island Iced Tea, or the company that owns it, made it Long Blockchain Tea or something, and it was like, stock price triples. It's like, you're insane. You have got brain worms, in the words of Michael Sidgwick. Anyway, let's move on to the KO show, special guest Seth freaking Rollins, Owens. Like, he just, it's go out and make the fans hate you, but he just nails it every single time. Oh, it's nice to be here in Tulsa. This place is brutal. Instant reaction from the fans.
It's just a little aside, right? I like the levels that WWE do with their cities. We're in goddamn New York City. Great. It's great. And then that's the one tier. There's a city / town that is so unglamorous that they can then take the piss out of it for heat. And then there's the one that won't even acknowledge my name.
Here we are in America.
Why do you even go? If they hate you that much, just get All Elite. So we don't have to review Raw. We can review Dark Elevation instead.
Or, as we pitch to each other, the Go Big Show.
Well, need to put it on UK telly.
yeah,
the cool facts about getting a deal and then it doesn't really happen.
Oh, yeah, Owen said he'd be lying if he was happy to be here because Tulsa is brutal. And then he introduced his best friend, Seth freaking Rollins. And he talked about how much he admired him, especially his suits. He appreciated all the minutiae that went into every detail of it. He said, took guts to confront Roman Reigns on SmackDown. Reigns may call himself the head of the table, but Rollins set that table. Rollins, it's a loving. He says he appreciates the comments. He says Reigns was scared of him. He says winning the title at the Rumble is going to be like taking candy from a baby. He's going to change the belt from blue to red. Owens jumps on this and says, oh, so you're going to be sticking around on Raw after you win. That's fantastic. That means we can get rid of Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar. We don't have to deal with them anymore. And Owens had an announcement of his own. He was going to be entering the Royal Rumble match. He was going to win the Rumble. And then we get the dream match at WrestleMania. Seth freaking Rollins against Kevin freaking Owens. Lovely stuff. Love these two in the ring together. Out comes Damian Priest, though. Rollins says, well, what are you bloody doing here? And Priest just tells him to piss off, basically. says, you're delusional. No one actually thinks you're going to beat Reigns. He says, look, if you don't want to face Damian, you shouldn't wake him up. But he'd spoken with Postman Pierce and Sonya Deville, and the match that he was going to have with Kevin Owens starts right now.
Do you think, right, that if Damian Priest was just called, I don't know, Alan Priest, like from day one, that this thing wouldn't have happened? Do they think, oh, Damian's, that's an evil sounding name because, it, you know, the Omen, let's give you this. And he's just,
if it was Alan Priest, it'd have been Mordecai 2.0, I think.
Yeah. That's an evil name. Be a little bit evil, I guess. It's only half an evil name. The other one's actually quite holy. So, hey, Alan.
That would be a... Recording new gimmick ideas on a dictaphone and living in a travel tavern. Oh man, this was
Titanic priest.
This was all right until it wasn't, wasn't it? Like, I quite like Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens, but I'm finding the inclusion of the Roman Reigns thing a bit clunky. It all made a lot more sense when they had one target. It was the belt. It was Brock Lesnar. It was Big E, I guess, you know, whoever. I don't know. This Rollins Reigns build stinks. That's what it is, you know. Yeah. This Rollins Reigns build already, like, really, really stinks. I thought that SmackDown segment was so poor that I still wasn't able to really get it out of my mind when you've got Rollins coming out here, effectively doing the thing he will do after the Rumble, which is no-sell the defeat. I sort of feel like we leapt 2 weeks ahead here and we were watching Seth Rollins say, well, never mind, I didn't beat Roman. Like, I felt like we were already at that point. They're going to make no conscious effort to make Rollins a babyface to make that match better on the night. Roman's going to get cheered instead. So that's going to knacker the dynamic of Rollins supposedly having to climb the mountain of his old best mate. That build really sucks, and I think it's done a bit of damage on these two's chemistry as well.
Can I say one thing before we move on?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like Seth Rollins as a performer, right? I just think that it's got a deeply mid-card flavour. He's not a tippy-top guy, yet their insistence that he is kind of just undermines everything. Kind of dug his facial expressions throughout this promo, as long and as unnecessary and as time-wasting as it was. Just his little faces when he was getting, like, his ego stroked. He sold it quite well.
Good news, Veer Mahan's coming to Raw still.
it's not. The verbiage is delicious. Move on. I will find it from the YouTube title that popped up on my algorithm this morning, and it amused me.
I'll run through Priest versus Owens. At one point, Owens is chopping Priest, and Priest looks like he's going to change to Damien. And Owens just said, hey, this is just clean wrestling here. No need for that. Priest goes after Owens. Owens comes out of the ring. Owens hits a super kick and a nice splash off the apron to take us to a break. When we come back, Priest makes his comeback. Strikes, clotheslines, broken arrow, gets a two count. Owens fights Priest, though, as he goes up top, knocks him off, hits a big senton for two. They trade counters. Owens hits a pop powerbomb. I quite enjoyed this match between these two, just going all out. Priest hit a chokeslam. He got a near fall. And then all of a sudden, Owens gets up, and it looks like his knee's given out. He calls for the referee, calls for the trainer. Everything stops. And then, of course, he's pretending. Suddenly bursts out of it. Stunner to Priest, 1-2-3, as Hamlet alluded to, potentially Priest's first singles loss since he debuted on the main roster. He's not going to be happy about it. Before Hamlet, we get your thoughts, Sidge. I'm fascinated to let you tell us what's going on with Veer Mahan.
Who wants to play a little impromptu game?
Oh, always.
All right.
Okay. Well, here it is. It's what's Veer Dean? that's what we'll call the game.
Yeah.
What's Veer Dean? So for like 6 or 7, 8, give or take weeks, we've had Veer is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Veer is coming. 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 But what's Veer Dean this week? According to the official WWE channel title video.
Veer is heading to Raw.
Nope.
Okay.
Veer is mapping out his path of destruction to Monday Night Raw.
Great guess, but unfortunately, the WWE YouTube and the WWE.com copy are kind of two different things. That's a very good guess.
This superstar is veering towards Monday Night Raw.
No, because that's your copy. Veer is coming. 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 Veer is biding his time. Veer Mahan is biding his time.
41,000 views.
Fair play to the man. Wouldn't this you? Man. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would.
Wouldn't you? Respect me more than anybody else on this show.
What would you rather do? Sit about and wait, or like do really like intensive work?
Mm.
He's on that Time Warner deal as Veer.
That's right. It is.
This match was 6 minutes of patent WWE filler with about 3 minutes of artless near falls tacked on to the end. And the crowd were up for it, so I kind of got slowly engaged. But nothing special, nothing that I'll remember. Nothing crafted with any kind of elegance.
But he outsmarted him, Pamphlet.
I'm sorry, Wilbon. I know you're willing some of this to be pretty good, but I have to completely agree with Sidgwick on this. I wasn't like wooed by the formula of any of this, especially not considering. I'm not gonna like cry any tears over Damien Priest losing an undefeated streak that was never like drawn that much attention to, or never would have meant out in the end, put it like that. That we're never gonna get him on some Goldbergian run to WrestleMania next year, having never lost or something. It just wasn't gonna happen for him. But it sort of takes me back to the Liv Morgan thing. You're either like, you're never really a big star in WWE unless you're trusted as a massive one. So you get this lineup of massive, massive stars, and everybody else is entirely disposable. That's all. There's no tiers beyond that. You're either out or you're completely nout. And that's what's happened to Liv Morgan. She failed to become out, so instead she's just nout. And that's probably what's going to be of Damian Priest now. He is a United States champion that's just been pinned in a non-title match in a very sort of unflattering manner of losing your undefeated streak. It's lasted, over a year? It's like, I know this is the same podcast that I've pitched getting Edge, but increasingly that means less than it used to anyway. Like, I think we're sort of interested in AJ Styles versus Edge because it's a bit of a clash of eras that maybe never would have bumped into each other had Edge not made his miraculous return. But otherwise, there aren't too many dream Edge storylines on the docket anyway. So I kind of shrugged at Damian Priest getting trapped in the molasses of Monday night, and I didn't feel much for the match in the process.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Nikki A.S.H. was then interviewed backstage by Sarah Schreiber. She's still dressing as a superhero. She said she's feeling better than ever. Rhea Ripley should feel awful for being a bad friend. When Schreiber pointed out that Nikki attacked Ripley, Nikki said, well, she ruined our team. She flushed it down the toilet. And the people of Tulsa don't have a hero of their own. She is going to be their people's champion. Sometimes, Michael Sidgwick, heroes do things that regular people don't understand. And Ripley would need a superhero, whether she realised it or not.
Absolutely diabolical. Absolutely diabolical. She looks, like a complete idiot in that gear. She will look even more like an idiot if they entertain the notion of, putting her in a villain costume.
Oh.
She is so geek-looking as a heel that any of this is impossible to take seriously. Rhea Ripley by association continues to be WWE's worst-handled project ever, given the actual promise she had shown as a ratings draw. This is diabolical professional wrestling television.
I don't like to talk about it on these podcasts, but I'm kind of a superheroes expert, and I like to sort of flex my expertise in that arena, lest I embarrass some of our colleagues in What Culture Comics. But I'm kind of an expert in this field, and I've long wanted wrestling to mine from the lore of Homelander, but nobody has ever thought to touch it. So I'm just glad that Nikki A.S.H. is going down that route, because somebody should have thought of that a long, long time ago. Sorry if you guys don't pick up the references. Google them.
We had the Alpha Academy graduation ceremony next. They teased it earlier on in the show. They've got hats and gowns. What are they called? Mortar boards? That's the right thing, isn't it? I think they're wearing their heads. That's what Chad and Otis are wearing. And actually, a bit of an exclusive reveal from me. My sources tell me that Chad Gable didn't write this speech himself. It wasn't even the writers that wrote it. It was Keith Lee, because it begins, "Greetings and salutations!" Chad Gable put over his 4.0 GPA, put over again a master's degree. I love when people boo him and he says, "Stop booing education."
Yeah.
That is a good thing. Brilliant, isn't he, Chad Gable? He said, "Look, the chances of him around here having a master's degree or a 4.0 GPA are slim to none." But he's so proud of Otis finishing his own degree, beating those morons in RK-Bro, and then getting those tag team titles. And he presented Otis with a diploma, said he graduated with the highest of honours, and Otis got a promo as well. He thanked Chad Gable, helping him reach his full potential, warned everyone that they would face carnage if they tried to get in their way. This brings out former tag team champion, one half of the former tag team champions, Riddle. He's in a green cap and gown. Any idea what that might be referencing?
He smokes weed.
Oh, got it. he'd written a speech on a napkin from the breakfast buffet.
He had the munchies because of the weed he smoked.
He said, wait a second, hold on. There might be another reference to drug taking in this. He says, "Fellow graduates and Tulsinians, it felt like just last week, Randy and I were the Raw Tag Team Champions." Because they were. "We were living on the edge, driving with the top down, just a couple of wild stallions running free. But today is graduation day and our lives will change forever." Randy would always say, "Life comes at you pretty fast." Gable cuts him off because he realizes he's basically doing a valedictorian speech, which I thought was a nice touch. He said, "People of Tulsa can't afford to lose any more brain cells." He said, "Look, you've already ruined the greatest night of Otis' life. You probably want a rematch. You can't even define what a rematch is." And he says, "Hey, like when you got to light something up twice." Any ideas?
Spliff.
Got it right.
Gable. Sometimes you forget you have one, don't you?
Yeah.
I'm told.
Don't bogart it. That's what I'm always told. I've heard. Gable said he was an idiot. He said, "Where's Randy? Where's your mate? You're all on your own. Look, you can get a rematch if next week you could pass an academic aptitude test." At this point, they do like a snap zoom into Otis.
Let's check what the idiot thinks.
And if they didn't have this noise, but if they did, it would have sounded like this. Like that, basically. Otis decides to just go after Riddle on the outside. That leaves Chad Gable isolated in the ring. In slides Randy Orton. RKO, of course. They bail out there. Orton and Riddle stand tall. Orton puts on the gown and the cap again and grabs a mic and accepts the academic aptitude test for next week, which I'm really excited about next week's show. I've got to say this.
I had the pitifully ignorant take last week that WWE had actually crafted a layer of emotion in a storyline. And then it comes out with like hats and props and nonsense. The following, it isn't picked up at all. There's no means of sympathizing with Riddle. I mean, there isn't anyway, but in terms of the storyline, I will say this. It went far too long, this segment. On occasion, you got a glimpse of Chad Gable's like pretty delicious deadpan.
Yeah.
Like when he's going, "Oh, Jesus Christ, you're such an idiot," about Riddle, like practically under his breath, like the contempt that he put over was decent. Otherwise, this is just wacky rubbish that I just hate.
Can we put Chad Gable's personality in Von Wagner's body?
No, can we put Chad Gable in AEW?
Yeah, fair enough.
Right, you know, like, I really quite enjoyed this, but that's the problem, because I really quite enjoyed this once on a two-hour show in the year 2000. And unfortunately, doing stupid bollocks became the MO for every single character in every single segment on every single WWE show. And it's such a shame, because these are ultimately always going to be subjective. Some will hit, some will miss. But the point is, as long as you don't overload your show with them, that's just down to the individual consumer's taste. You know, the jokes might land, or the wrestlers involved might sort of have a bit more character about them to make it work, like we sort of identified with Gable here. Like, generally, I thought, like, typically, you know, the put downs of the towns aren't always that creative. Gables were great here, and it was as much in the delivery as it was the actual lines themselves. So when you're watching performers that you really enjoy or whatever, some of this can really work. It's the fact that what this is representative of is everything WWE does. They believe just about every single segment has to have this. This is what Bruce Pritchard means when he says telling stories on a Conrad podcast. It's this. It's not anything else. It's not like long storylines, angles, emotional reasons for characters to invest in storylines. It's just dressing up in silly clothes because it's the kind of thing he can produce. I like this, but if it was only this on a Raw that was otherwise quite an enjoyable emulation of a sport, I would have thought, oh, that was a nice diversion, a nice distraction. But what's next, Wilbon?
Well, next, we got a replay of Finn Balor beating Austin Theory a few weeks ago. And we're in Vince McMahon's multicam office. McMahon's watching the replay, and Theory says, yeah, well, I might have lost, but I beat up Balor afterwards. So it's kind of like a half victory. I've got to hold my hands up here, boys. I have no idea what Vince said. I've written it down. I've got it from subsequent online recaps. But it was just noise.
Just garbled, guttural. He actually said that this week. Our joke about Vince McMahon, that his new voice, his new normal voice, is that which he said to Shane McMahon under his breath in 2016. He's now saying Austin Theory.
He said to Theory, apparently, that he needs to beat Finn tonight and then beat him up as well. And if he doesn't, Vince will beat him up. He'll pull out an equalizer, beat Theory down. He'll leave him as nothing but blood, snot and teeth, and then take a selfie and send it to his mother.
The mega fans will forgive me for this, but a former wrestling journalist turned WWE social media account guy transcribed all of the promo when Vince is unhinged, cry laugh emoji. It's like, you did not find this funny. Stop pretending you found it funny because comedy is only delivery, right? You didn't understand what he was saying. You, like everyone else on the planet, you rewound what Vince said. What's that, Vince? One more time, Vince?
Closed captions are just shrug emoji.
And then, like, it's like, yeah, it's so funny. It's like, stop lying.
Yeah.
If someone told me a joke in French, another language I don't understand, I wouldn't laugh at it because I don't understand.
Yeah.
No one understands what Vince says first time in 2022. Not a soul can understand this. And if someone tells you a joke, even if it's good, and like, the audio's off, or the TV's too low, and you turn it back up, but all right, that's good. If I heard it the first time,
yeah,
you know, I might have laughed enough so much that tears came out of my eyes, right? But I didn't hear it, and I would never pretend that I heard it.
Yeah, no, I would say to that journalist, I wouldn't, you know, berate him and say, you know, go out there and touch grass, because I've had a feeling he does that probably whilst he's at the, you know, shopping center spotting his favorite porn stars. just a thought. I'm just asking questions here, Sid. Right, then we got Austin Theory versus Finn Balor.
I just wanted to say, because I had a lot of praise for these Vince McMahon Austin Theory segments over the last few weeks, and this one was a bit of a turning point. And I kind of thought, like, I best, you know, we got a platform here. And I kind of thought I best think very carefully about the statement I'm about to make in relation to how you analyze that thing, if you could indeed make out what Vince said. And I was just thinking, like, if you look at the gory mutilation that hypothetically blooded Austin Theory in the January 17th event on USA Network, it quickly becomes clear that these are different podcasts. We had an edgier podcast last week. But in the This Week world, I don't believe this type of dangerous and brutal display is appealing to network partners, sponsors, venues, children, or the general public as a whole. That's just my opinion.
Very, very good.
Very nice. Very nice. Then we got Austin Theory versus Finn Balor.
Skip. Fucking skip. Oh, sorry, just in case we weren't clear, that was a skip. Skip.
Theory beat him down afterwards, hit him with a couple of ATLs. But enough of all that. It's now time for this.
It's short, it's crap, it's wrestling related. The 5-star review. Nailed it!
And this week's five-star review is brought to you by CJ. If you want to suggest something short, crap, and wrestling-related for us to review instead of a god-awful Raw segment, just like CJ did, subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on iTunes and leave us a five-star review.
Are you sure it's not KL? Because it starts with, hello, gentlemen! I'll take the piss, CJ. Thanks for sending it in.
CJ says, hello, gentlemen. My name is CJ. I just want to say thank you for the content on the What Culture podcast. Listen to you guys take the piss out of WWE's stupid booking decisions are hilarious. You go in such great detail describing a match, whether you like it or you don't. WWE hasn't been good in the comedy department lately, but you know what I always found funny in wrestling? Edge and Christian. For my five-star review, could you please review Edge's King of the Ring celebration where he roasts Billy Gunn. This is where Wilborn can play the hey, 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 you all right button for the What Culture podcast. Unfortunately, we have to record the Zoom call today, but thank you for that. He says, you guys are great. Cheers, lads. Hamper, take us all the way back to 2001 and King of the Ring.
Well, you know, I'm loath to give too much backstory here because this, other than just being really funny, is an excellent segment of wrestling television that I really enjoyed watching. WWE used to actually be able to tell stories. There were a couple of long-term stories set up here. There was a really funny short-term match set for later that night. But the crux of it was, Edge had won King of the Ring. He'd had a little bit of help from Shane McMahon, who at the time, if you can wrap your head around this, was the WCW boss invading on behalf of WCW as a babyface. You could feel that the invasion was creaking under the pressure of getting that right. But yeah, Edge won the King of the Ring. The push was on. Edge and Christian fans were starting to feel nervous. We're starting to, like Damian Priest, feel a bit edgy about the future of those tag teams, but all was still just about rosy.
So they decorated the ring. Out comes Commissioner William Regal, flanked by Tajiri, who's struggling under the weight of this King of the Ring trophy. Was this the first time there was a trophy?
First and only, I believe it's there to mimic the Stanley Cup because Edge and Christian were Canadians that would eventually want to fight over that specific looking trophy.
And just so, you know, I don't want to forget this for later on and we covered proper history. Which title, who did he fight for the, you know, the you won King of the Ring, your title shot. So who did he face for that?
It wasn't all great. Oh. Actually, yeah, he did fight for the Intercontinental. He did fight for the Intercontinental title at SummerSlam, but that was complete fluke. They're not getting away with that one.
Regal comes down to the ring. Thanks, everyone. They all hate him. He's getting booed. He's getting asshole chants. He says, look, there's a lot of things that are lacking in this country. Civility, politeness, the washing of one's hands when using the lavatory. But the thing that's lacking...
William Legal.
The thing that's lacking the most is royalty. So he introduces proudly us to the new king, Edge, who comes down with Christian in a preposterous pair of sunglasses. And Regal congratulates Edge on becoming the 2001 King of the Ring, despite it being, in his words, tainted by Shane McMahon's interference. I think he goes to say that it's all reeks of awesomeness, but because he just don't understand, he says it wrecks of awesomeness. And he says, why don't we do an Edge and Christian 5-second pose for the fans? And they do, but Tajiri's like, well, I'm getting involved in this. And he's like, he sort of does the robot a bit, basically, next to them. So Edge gets given the trophy, gets given the mic, and Christian takes both of them. He goes, I'll take that. And he says, look, what an honour it is for me to be standing here next to the 2001 King of the Ring, talking about how proud he is of Edge. He says, look, Shane McMahon did interfere in my match as well. You know, it cost me my shot to face Edge in the final. I did face tougher competition. I think he said combined weight of over 1,000 pounds he'd faced. Brilliant stuff, this. Anyway, Christian tells Edge how proud he is of him, gives him the mic, and Edge declares tonight the era of awesomeness. But before he can really get going, out comes Billy Gunn out to the stage, who says, well, 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 King Edge, huh? Congratulations, Your Majesty. Welcome to the... Can you do the heckle that we were talking about earlier when I say it here?
Yeah.
Cedric pointed this out to us, and we're going to try and recreate it. Congratulations, Your Majesty. Welcome to the King of the Ring Winners Club.
Shut up.
When I won the King of 1999 King of the Ring tournament, I was looking forward to defending my crown, but I had a shoulder injury. By the way, I'm cutting a better promo than Billy Gunn already.
Shoulder injury.
Then I wanted to defend it this year, and I wasn't even in the damn tournament. Then I had the indignity of seeing in WWF New York with a bunch of loud, obnoxious New York City morons. The worst of it all wasn't just sitting at the restaurant, though. It was watching a talentless joke like you actually win the damn thing. Congratulations, Edge. I really, really mean it. JR basically goes, bollocks on commentary. Edge, great line, this. It's, wow, Billy. The way he said, wow, Billy was great. I was like, here we go. You sound like a human vacuum cleaner, managed to both suck and blow at the same time.
You cacks. It's a little homophobic, this, in retrospect.
Since you're not really doing anything lately, I was wondering if you could do me a favor. If in 2 years' time at King of the Ring, I'm not defending a title or even a match, and my very special assignment is to go to WWF New York and eat a meatball sandwich, please just shoot me in the head. Quick question, Hamlet. How was WWF New York holding up in 2003? And what was he doing at the pay-per-view?
WWF New York was as good as gone in 2003, I think, due to a huge, was it extortion or money laundering? There was all sorts of scandal. Edge was on the shelf because all the matches he had given him a massive neck injury and had to take a year off. Not so good, Al. Mind, like, you know, time to flat circle. Sheamus is coming up on 10 years since he won the Royal Rumble. Like, at least he's still getting to enter this year's.
Anyway, he says 1999 is so 2 years ago. It's not my fault if you've done a big pile of nothing since then. That doesn't give you the right to rain on my parade. Commissioner, I vow to you that I will not Billy Gunn this King of the Ring title. Because, Billy, I plan on being entertaining. It's a little bit of a shoot, this, isn't it?
It's a little bit of a shoot. Like, bless Billy, he was just the butt of the jokes, wasn't he? Like, Brian Gewirtz was on fire writing this promo.
Billy says, well, yeah, you want to be entertaining? How about I kick your royal ass right here tonight?
That's how he says it, isn't it?
Edge says, sounds good, gets the approval of Commissioner Regal, and he says, then I hereby decree that in the first act in the era of awesomeness, it will be to totally annihilate Billy Bitch Cakes.
Billy Bitch Cakes.
And they go to the bit, they beat cakes. That's my favourite part.
Billy Bitch Cakes is kind of like immortal patter, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
so silly, it's so 2001. It's so sub-rock, if we're being perfectly, completely honest. Brian Gewirtz only ever knew how to write for one guy, but it's a testament to Edge's skill that he can actually be rock. They try to make everyone the friggin' rock, and Edge could kind of do it. So what's he doing now?
Over the virtual desks today, me and Sidgwick both, like, took a lot from that. That 1999 was so 2 years ago line. Gee, that packed a punch, didn't it? It's like WWE is a product that's proud of standing still the way it does now. My God.
Only now does wrestling feel remotely different to that which it did like 2 years ago. Like 2 years ago, or 3 years ago now, NXT was a genuinely red-hot product that people loved. Like TakeOver, New York, sold out, massive secondary market price. One of the great all-time WWE cards, and now look at it. And it sometimes blows my mind that this is kind of, it's evolved as it has to 2.0 and the reasons why. This is how time in wrestling used to move. Like the last 21 years have been an absolutely ridiculously drab aberration.
Right, so we go to the comments section. Once again, these do not reflect the views of myself, the Daddy Boys, or anyone at What Culture Wrestling.
There's a particular glare from Wilborn there, so I'm worried.
Oh, no. I think they mostly are... No, these are all pretty much all right. Okay. An alien, 4 years ago, writes, Rock buried Billy Gunn, Edge sauntered up and pissed on the grave. Fair assessment. Saurabh writes, Oh, Edge is the most handsome hunk of all time. To which Amorgan writes, keep it in your pants, bud. I just love that. Stop getting so horny on the internet.
You get out and jack it if you want. It's, what else are YouTube comments for? If not for coming.
This does not reflect the views.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But it don't be like, what this is a PSA. Don't be like Steel Will, okay? Because Steel Will, he saves it by putting a lol at the end, but it's not the right thing to say. By this time in 2001, Road Dogg's already out of WWE because of drug problems, lol. Right, you can't just write lol at the end of it.
That's a hospital pass. That is a hospital. You can't have poppers with that.
Karina Romero.
Even if I don't genuinely don't like people, I don't want them to have drug problems.
No, exactly.
You cannot whack a lol on there and not expect me to pop.
Yeah, exactly. Karina Romero says, bring back the WWE blimp already. I'd forgotten about the WWE blimp. That was a thing back in 2001, wasn't it?
I'm with that, actually. I was quite like those arena blimps.
We've got a robot now. Isn't it mad how no one talks about the robot?
It is hilarious. Yeah. I will say, it pops me every Tuesday morning, when it kicks off, they do a big sweep and everyone's like, yeah, wrestling! And the robot's like, probably look, check this out, eh? Check this out. The final comment, this is fine. It comes from Joshua Pops, who simply writes, I named a cat of mine Billy Bitch Cakes. Come here, Billy Bitch Cakes. Hey, who are you? Who's a good girl?
Never get a cat.
thanks to CJ for that.
The good thing about Steel Will is that there's a little bit of drill punctuation to the tweet. This time in 2001, full stop. The WWE because of drug problems, lol.
So thanks to CJ for that one. If you want to suggest something short, crap, and wrestling related for us to review, do so on iTunes, on Spotify now, I believe you can do it, or you can email your five-star review to me, adam.wilborn@whatculture.com. Oh, we've gone early here, lads. We've got a lot to go through on Monday Night Raw still. The match is about to happen. Nikki A.S.H. versus Rhea Ripley. Sarah Schreiber chats to Ripley. She said, look, I wanted to remain friends with Nikki. What kind of hero attacks their friend? She said, I'm going to remind everyone, including Nikki, who I am. But before the match can start, before she can kick her head in, out comes Queen Zelina and Carmella. They talked about always being right about Ripley and Nikki. They should be thanked for breaking them up because they were better off. She says, look, Nikki is nothing without Ripley. Ripley needs someone to leech off. She can't do anything on her own. The match didn't happen. This distraction allowed Nikki to jump Rhea Ripley and chuck her into the steel steps. They are ruining Ripley.
Why are you talking of the present tense?
Well, it's
just dead.
I thought, get them to split this bloody tag team up. And I still thought when you split them up, if you were asking me in December, let's say, Ripley had a fair shout at the Rumble. Because I was like, it's a reset in it. It's like, oh, well, that's that. Jesus Christ, this is awful.
Oh, hideous. Hamlet, any thoughts?
Zero. Awful.
Right, then there's this weird bit with Dana Brooke psyching Reggie up. R-Truth, Tamina, Akira Cesaro, and a referee are sitting on them steps. The big welcome to Tulsa sign. They're eating popcorn. Reggie's not feeling confident about facing Omos. Completely forgot to mention that on preview yesterday, lads. My apologies. I remember they booked this last week.
Who cares?
Yeah, I thought that was going to be the case. So I thought it was going to be okay. She's just said, you know, like, stay low. You know, don't do anything stupid, basically. You're the most capable person I know. And they go off, and R-Truth says, oh, she must not like Reggie because she just told him to get gat. And that's the sort of reaction I got in my house as well.
I'm trying to be nice to someone. Do I say, oh, you're very capable? Like, who writes this? Man.
So before the match starts, they all come out to try and beat Dana Brooke for a 24-7 championship, and they get battered. Tamina gets in Omos's face. Reggie comes off the top, gets caught and hit with a tree slam. That was that.
I mean, who cares?
He didn't ruin anything, Omos. You know, nothing was a disaster this week. Let me reach up and try and ruffle your head, you 8-foot monster that I should be terrified of. Good for you.
Right, then we got Maryse in the ring. She was having a segment with supposedly with just her and Beth Phoenix. She said, look, the miss has got a big mouth. He's not here tonight. He liked to agree to things without asking her first. She wanted to clean up the mess, told Beth, come out, let's talk woman to woman, mother to mother. Phoenix comes out. She's got bloody edge with her. I'll separate these two. Maryse says, all right, just stay there then, you two. Look, this mixed tag match, it's got to be cancelled. I'll tell you what, this reaction this crowd gave her was, in considering what they'd sat through, was unbelievable. She said, look, the match's got to be cancelled. I don't want it. You don't want it. The fans don't want it. The crowd boos her out of the building. And she does the whole, I've got a mic, I'm louder than you. And they go, you're not. It gets even louder as you suck chants. It's deafening here. She talks about their history, Maryse does. Says the women of today can main event WrestleMania because of the work we did. We should be friends. Our kids should hang out. And Phoenix says, oh, just shut up. I'm not buying any of this. Neither's the crowd. You must be taking acting lessons from your husband. She said, the match is on. I'm not going to pass up the chance to team with my hubby. And I'm not going to pass up on the chance to glam slam your ass through the canvas. She says, you know what, actually, let's give the fans a preview. She makes her way down to the ring. Miz out of nowhere, tries to jump Edge. They fight, but this is distracted Beth Phoenix, and Maryse clocks her from behind with her purse, which lays out Beth Phoenix. Edge goes in to check on her. Miz and Maryse are standing on the ramp, and Maryse reveals that in her purse, she had a bloody brick! And they snog, and the segment ends. What did you make of all this, Sig?
Not much, because this is the second time, I believe, that they've outwitted Edge, who's the babyface. Like, that's probably one too many, if I'm being honest.
We've already said it's because he's got no wit anymore.
Yeah.
too much grit, not enough wit.
He's just an idiot on this evidence.
Just to interrupt. Did you see over the weekend, because we talked about this a bit in the office yesterday, Carmella tweeted in relation to the grit couple versus the it couple. It was after the Corey Graves news came out. It was like, you should be watching your back. And the amount of replies that just had people saying, why are you the couple?
Get in.
The writers must have seen that because they used this later on, didn't they?
I think so.
Brilliant.
This is not moving me in any way, shape, or form. Hard to sympathize with Edge, given that he's a knacker. You can see these ruses from a mile away. Even he did earlier in the night. They're not very sophisticated. Yeah, I always go back to the deadly game. If you want to make your baby face look daft like this, you have to concoct the most ridiculous scheme possible that no one could possibly see. I continue, however, to be amazed by the sheer phenomenon that is Edge in live arenas, whether it's 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 9,000, 10,000, sometimes at the big stadium shows, 30,000. They managed to find every last single soul in that area that loves Edge, because not a single soul's watching him do anything on telly. And yet the people in these arenas love him. This phenomenon where to a man, to a human being, they find the last person coming through the turnstile who likes Edge. Why do people on telly not like him?
Well, I mean, probably because stuff like this isn't really any good, is it?
Yeah.
Like, it's basic. It's not broken. A lot of WWE is broken forever. And none of this stuff's been particularly broken, but it's really basic. And characters, I said it from the very beginning when they booked Edge and Miz, I was more interested in the mixed tag match because it was a collection of characters. I was kind of broadly more interested in seeing it together. And I got the feeling from the way the crowd were reacting, as Wilbon pointed out, to the prospect of Maryse trying to rip that match away, that most fans agree to. There's no story, though. They've never really even tried to make one. Maryse is scared of Beth Phoenix. We knew that, the night that she showed up at day one?
Yep.
There's been if you think about it, there's been zero advancement since.
Did Maryse bring the brick with her, or did she get it at the arena?
I don't know. She won't go through security.
I'd like that. Sorry, can I just check what's in the bag there? Oh, just a brick.
Just a brick.
It's the goo guy, isn't it? I got a job lot of bricks, but I'm sure I'm not going to be able to do anything with them. Ring, ring.
1 second, just googling something.
Lubric.
Okay.
Brick.
Is that a brick?
No.
Le but.
No, no.
You're an absolute piece of trash.
All right, we get a pointless eight man next.
Skip.
We can't, but I'll go through as fast as I can because we want to talk about the post match. That's the most important.
Douglas made a hot tag around Wilder for the Mysterios.
You're going to talk about the back and forth between the two of them saying, well, we're going to be in the Rumble. Are you going to eliminate me? Are you going to eliminate me? No, I'm going to eliminate you. We're all going to win the Rumble. None of these people are going to win the Royal Rumble. We get an eight man Street Profits, the Mysterios, the Dirty Downs, Apollo Crews, and Commander Aziz. Dawkins made the hot tag run wild. Double 619 to Ziggler and Rude. Ray does a dive onto Aziz, who catches him, but Dominic makes another dive to knock him over. Dawkins hits Cruz with a spine buster. Big old frog splash from Ford for the win. But Hamper, we have to talk about what happened following this match. All four men are celebrating when the Street Profits are dumped over the top rope, akin to what could happen in the Royal Rumble match by the Mysterios. And you think, what a funny, lovely moment. He'll take it. Well, we'll get you what you bloody like, hey. And then the final jigsaw piece fell into place. Rey Mysterio eliminates Dominic Mysterio, who smiles, but there's a sinister smirk on his face.
There isn't.
He knows. Just you wait. Just you wait till next Saturday, Dad, when I lift you onto my shoulders and electric chair you out of the fucking ring onto the ramp. Because we always said it was going to happen January 29th, my but
we did. Go back and listen to all the podcasts in our archives, not just because it's good for the charts, but because you will hear me and Wilborn say that, as he points out, the final piece of the puzzle will be slotted in on January the 17th for the Royal Rumble, which I think we said a couple of years ago will take place on a Saturday. Won't that be weird? Cool. That proves to be true too. They are, as we speak, developing a ramp that allows for Dominic Mysterio to electric chair Ray out of the ring and have him land on the stage. Typically, the Rumble's the longest ramp of the year. Not so. Not this year. It's going to look like the one at Daly's Place during the pandemic. And he's just going to launch him from the ring to the back of the stage, crack his head on. I mean, if it wasn't any clearer, here it was for us all to see. Dominic, I want to credit Dominic's acting here because we all felt it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why, like, Cedric's sort of gone on some sort of mute there. Like, we all felt it. We're all feeling it. He was pledging vengeance in that moment. And the thing is, Ray's going to have this coming. And aren't those the best stories? Aren't those the best stories? The heels always have to believe they're in the right. WWE, you've done it again, and so have we.
Yeah, exactly. What was it?
They haven't done it once.
AEW did.
They haven't done it once. They keep saying it's happening.
They were like, oh, from the beginning, it's Hangman Page and Kenny Omega. Man. From all the way along, baby. It's happening.
The good, the bad, and the Dominic.
CG, it's happening. What I will say, what came next was absolutely brilliant because it wasn't live wrestling, it was a video package, which WWE are really good at. A fantastic video package, I thought, all about Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley. What a sell for the Royal Rumble match this was.
Well, I'll say one thing. It was really well done. But Newcastle United, right, have recently signed Burnley's Chris Wood in order to assist in their relegation battle. And because it sounds a bit like a hard-on, a bit like a stiffy, a lot of people had fun on social media saying something to the effect of, signing, that's got wood. That's got wood in my ear. I heard the word wood more often during this video package than I read it on Twitter when everyone was trying to make the same joke. Michael Cole must have scripted this. It genuinely, like, I knew this was a fabulously constructed thing. But the amount of times they just get tenses wrong, they can't do anything. Brock Lesnar would go to UFC and he would come back to WWE, and Bobby Lashley would go to Bellator and he would rediscover the potential and he would do this. Shut up, man. Mike, just use the past tense.
Do you not know my favorite part of this was?
It was a really good package.
It was really good, but I did like Bobby Lashley burst onto the scene, all American, blah, blah, blah. Did all this stuff, didn't quite capture the gold in WWE. Then he went to Bellator, and that was about it. And then he came back to WWE. Didn't do anything else, did he?
No mention whatsoever of Impact Wrestling nor Michael Hayes. So,
some dumbass told him to wear a headband, but we got rid of that and he was back. No, it was awesome. Like, we did call for this.
this is the sort of stuff you do with people like Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley. It's more interesting. Genuinely, it's more interesting than some lame scripted nonsense that we probably would have foreseen with MVP. I like this more.
And we're getting a weigh-in next week.
It's going to be fabulous.
Oh, my
goodness.
Not the only thing we're getting next week, because backstage, as they are leaving the arena, Miz and Maryse are accosted by... not Sarah Shriver, is it? Kevin Patrick! asks for a comment on their earlier attack. Miz is happy. He says he only took one shot to take down Beth Phoenix. He says, look, great couple... More like
sheep.
Oh, what? Can't say that because the kids are watching. Hi, kids. Miz announces it's Maryse.
You can actually, by the way. I need to get this out there. Again, I feel like we should use our platform for good rather than evil. If you are a parent that listens to this podcast or you have a taste in bland kids' films, that's a bit weird. But if you're going to see Clifford the Big Red Dog, I feel like I need to give a bit of a warning here because one wasn't given to me with the Universal/PG rating.
What about this?
Clifford the Big Red Dog. And imagine trying to stop your 6 and 9 year old copying this when you get out of the cinema, has the word bollocks in it. Now, you don't expect, even though it's a film about a big red dog, and I imagine if you could see them, they'd be absolutely fucking massive. Like, you don't expect the word. Clifford the Big Red
Cock.
Clifford the Big Red Lipstick. How you doing? the word bollocks isn't Clifford the Big Red Dog, so maybe you can get the word on Monday Night Raw.
Bollocks?
I mean, that's not good.
But no.
Not on, is it? It's not on. We're really wrong-footed by that. Clifford's big swinging bollocks coming at you.
That and Jack Whitehall. That's honestly...
It's just not for kids.
Anyway, Miz announces it's Maryse's birthday next week. He's going to throw her a huge party. Nothing is stronger than their love. They kissed. Kevin Patrick's like a WWE drone. He's like, and then legs it, basically. Maryse's birthday next week. What could possibly go wrong, Sidge?
Facing a cake.
They've been drenched already, haven't they? I was going to say there could be stuff dropped on them, but they did. They've already done that with Brood stuff like 3 times already. So, yeah.
I forgot about that. I was going to say they're going to get poo dropped on them. It's going to be a poo day for Miz and Maryse.
Black goo. I've skipped ahead because earlier on there was a statement from Jimmy Smith. When it comes to mental health, the first thing you have to do is recognize you have a problem. And I think we all recognise that Alexa Bliss has a serious problem. We got a segment with her in the psychiatrist.
How would you describe Alexa Bliss?
She's crazy. It was a little bit disappointing, this, I thought. New.
Yeah, I was expecting it to be funnier. And by that, I mean exponentially worse.
Well, I can tell you that all it was she was sat in the psychiatrist's office and he was like, oh, less breakable things this week. And I swear she said the word needle. And I thought, oh, just kill me. Right. But he said he wanted to play a word association game. And he said,
this is Tony D'Angelo. He had a very thick accent.
He said, trust.
In my office today, yeah?
He said, friendship. He said, some other bollocks.
It was word association if you didn't watch this trek.
Yeah. And every time he said that, she said,
I mean, actually, this review has gone better than I imagined because when I watched this segment, I thought, oh, Christ, we're getting 4 of these. We're going to get a word, then Wilbon on his phone, then a word, then Wilbon on his phone, then a word. Like, I think you've spared us there.
Yeah, except for the bit where he said imaginary and she stood up fuming and he went, cool, well, that's it for this week. Bye. And I was like, a bit bollocks, wasn't it?
A bit bollocks, sis. You want it to be dafter than it is. So the deal is the psychiatrist is trying to trick her into the epiphany. Tiffany's.
NXT preview later.
That Lily is in fact a figment of her imagination, except she's not. We all saw her attempt to kill Shayna Baszler. The psychiatrist is the one that needs help in therapy.
Yeah, didn't Doudrop take a bump for her as well?
Didn't it wink?
Yeah. Right, main event time. Seth Rollins versus Bobby Lashley, both number one contenders for the titles at the Royal Rumble. I wonder who will win this match. Oh, it went to a DQ. It was a really fun match prior to that, but of course it was going to a DQ from the moment it started. Rollins hit a suicide dive and Lashley at one point just stood there. Rollins went for it again. Lashley caught him because he's mint. Hit a suplex. When we came back from the break, Rollins is targeting Lashley's leg. Oh my God, my heart was in the mouth when he went for that dragon screw. I thought it was a bit off. I don't know whether one was going one way, one was going, what happened there? But he went for this dragon screw, and I thought, don't you fucking dare cost us Lashley versus Lesnar in a match that's blatantly going to a DQ. I got panicked a bit there, but he was fine. Rollins targeted the leg low, single leg crab, chucked it into the post earlier on. Lashley fought him off. Rollins went for a stomp, but Lashley ducked, caught him, hit a flatliner, fights back, overhead suplexes, shoulder tackles, a neck breaker, a dominator gets a near fall, goes for a spear, but Rollins hits him with a knee strike, counters him a few times, then hits a pedigree. That gets him a two count. Goes up top, but Lashley catches him and hits a beautiful-looking overhead suplex. And then suddenly, whilst Lashley's on the outside, he gets attacked by Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander. Well, when will they learn? DQ finish. Lashley doesn't even need to. I thought, oh, well, this is going to be fun. Rollins is going to help him, and then that's going to be it. No, didn't need his help. Fought back, double vertical suplex, chucked Alexander into the post, speared Benjamin through the barricade. And as Rollins is watching this go on, the Usos slide in, double super kick, main event chaos, Michael Hampler.
I thought some of this was quite good. Lashley was in the mood. Bobby Lashley is, as we said, kind of when he won that match, is visibly fired up to get this Brock Lesnar match. And he looks, I don't think Bobby Lashley, don't get me wrong, has never phoned it in the last few years once they've kind of like finally locked down what they've got with him. But I just really am enjoying at the moment the intensity he's bringing. You saw it day one. You saw it the night after when he got the shot. You're seeing it here. It's ideal. It's perfectly timed for the Brock match. He wants to level up and feel as dominant as Brock always does when he fights everybody else. There was that story that came out, wasn't there, that Lashley was requesting to be taken out of the match because he was worried it would dilute the specialness of the coming together. I think from the moment he was forced to be in the day one match, what you have is him just like, I don't know, finding an extra level of violence. I am so deadened by the barricade spots, and yet I thought this one was pretty awesome. You know, like, I don't particularly care. I like watching Seth Rollins be a ring general for guys that need it rather than ones that don't. I get quite bored watching Seth Rollins wrestle people that don't particularly need his expertise, and yet I thought he was pretty great having to work around this like renewed and revived monster. So there was a bit of energy to this. The finish was totally predictable, but it didn't like ruin my enjoyment of it particularly. I just can't believe that you left off the preview that the 17th of January Raw is the one time that Raw and SmackDown superstars collide. You know, like normally we make that quite a big part of the preview. So that's like our bad, I guess.
Yeah.
It's a bit cheap and lazy to try and babyface Rollins through the Usos attacking him when you spent the rest of the evening making him the same dickhead heel he always is. So I'm not going to give him a pass on that. Not going to give him a pass on that, but I just really enjoyed Lashley individually.
I really enjoyed Lashley individually. There was an awesome dynamic to this match that in itself you couldn't emotionally invest in because, as Wilbon points out, it was always going to go to a DQ. But was it? Because earlier in the night you had another match where it's like, no one can really go over here because either a guy you're pushing is a credible Rumble winner or a mid-card champion. Who's going to win this? And then it was a straightforward-ish finish. So I'm thinking, what kind of bad is it going to be? I couldn't wholly concentrate on the genuinely really quite great at points, like dynamic. I was thinking, what bad is this going to be? What specific kind of WWE bad is this going to be? Because it has to be, it's going to be bloody one, I guess. Because either they're going to pin someone who shouldn't be pinned, or they're just going to go to a DQ, rendering the whole thing a complete and utter waste of my bastard time.
And they went for the latter.
Yes.
And he goes attack Rollins to leave him laying as the show went off the air to lead to SmackDown this week. But let us know your thoughts on Monday Night Raw on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch, they can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hampler at
Michael Hampler.
Follow Michael Sidgwick at
M. Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. And leave us a 5-star review, just like CJ did, suggesting something short, crap, and wrestling related for us to review instead of a god awful Raw segment. We'll be back later on today with the NXT Dubai preview. But for now, this has been the Raw review. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.